please, tonight, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Those of you who have been here for any length of time know that I don't frequently re-preach messages. Although pastors and teachers are called of God to put God's people in remembrance, and that does require a certain degree of repetition. Tonight, I want us to look back to 4 years ago tonight. That is the first time, the last time, that I preached the message that we're going to look at tonight. 4 years ago, if you remember, those of you who were here at the time, we were still, as a church, on Wednesday night, we were still temporarily meeting in the overflow room because the renovation work was still going on in the main sanctuary. But also, 4 years ago, there were other things going on as well. We thank God that the renovation is done, and we've enjoyed this sanctuary here in its new renovated state for 4 years now, just about. But also, 4 years ago, if you remember, if you can think about a time that what I'm about to say, COVID was little more than a curious new word in a couple of news articles. 4 years ago, that's all, just 4 years ago. 4 years ago, churches and other organizations around the country had never experienced a lockdown of any kind for any purpose. 4 years ago, woke was what you were supposed to do in the morning when your alarm clock goes off. 4 years ago, crime across the nation was a fraction of what it is today. 4 years ago, there was no war in Ukraine. 4 years ago, our southern border was relatively secure. 4 years ago, there were no anti-Israel demonstrations in cities and college campuses. 4 years ago, there were no after-school Satan clubs springing up in some public schools around our nation. 4 years ago, you never heard of drag queen story times with first, second, and third graders in public schools. 4 years ago, I would have said we were heading at full speed towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Folks, we're there. And on I could go. Now, in case you're wondering, this has absolutely nothing to do with politics. That is not what this message is about. But 4 years ago was 2020, and no real pun intended, but hindsight is 2020. We have lived through the past 4 years with all that has happened, with all we have witnessed. 4 years, just 48 months, just 208 weeks, just 1,460 days, and all of this has now changed. And folks, the only way I am able to stand up here tonight and re-preach this message that I preached 4 years ago is because the Word of God never changes. The title of the message is Rules for Right Relationships in the Roaring Twenties. 100 years ago, our country, well, now it's been 104, excuse me, Now it's been 104 years ago. Our country entered a decade that has become known as the Roaring Twenties. According to online sources, the expression the Roaring Twenties was coined somewhere between 1925 and 1930. The decade was so named because of the cultural upheaval, the defiance of prohibition, and willful moral relaxation that immediately followed the end of World War I. This Roaring Twenties phenomenon was on full display in the streets of major U.S. cities, music halls, and dance floors. World War I was thought to be the war to end all wars, and when it was over, the world, seeming to cry peace and safety, through wisdom, caution, moral absolutes, and conservative values to the wind, thinking that all was now well and mankind would now live happily ever after. But history now tells the story that the Roaring Twenties were merely an interlude of folly before a second, more severe world war engulfed the planet less than 20 years later. Tonight we sit here, not at the beginning, but 4 years into another decade of twenties, the 2020s. In view of the many situations in the world, our country, our state, this decade thus far has proven to be another roaring twenties, with further cultural upheavals, defiance, and moral disintegration that, looking back over the past 4 years, is making the 1920s look like a walk in the park. Furthermore, the Word of God tells us that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In that sense, surely, this decade, thus far, over the past 4 years, is proving to be another roaring 20s. Now, as human beings, created in God's image, we are relational beings. We have the God-given capacity for love, sympathy, respect, courtesy. But in our sinful, fallen state, we have the capacity for hate, indifference, disrespect, and rudeness. We are relational beings, and we cannot ignore that fact, nor can we escape from it. Right relationships produce harmony and stability, but left to ourselves, we can easily ruin the relationships in our lives. Rules, therefore, are necessary for right relationships in a God-fearing world, but how much more in a godless world? There are four spheres of relationships that we as believers have in the world: God Himself, the family of God, human authority, and all the remaining scope of humanity. 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was living himself in roaring times. The Roman Emperor Nero was in power at this time, a deranged megalomaniac who, at the encouragement of his mistress Poppaea, had his half-brother, his wife, and even his own mother killed for the good of the empire. Sources say he was also a bisexual pervert, meaning he had wives, but he was also a pedophile. Sources say he was filled with delusions of grandeur and esteemed himself to be a great musical artist, but had little, if any, real talent or musical ability. And I could go on. The rest of the Roman Empire was characterized by much of the same: disregard for the sanctity of human life, perversion of every kind, pride, arrogance, violent entertainment, love of pleasure, flat-out public stupidity, and bold-faced injustice were the norm in Peter's day as he writes this second epistle of his to the church. This is the context of 1 Peter. I might as well just have read and generalized a description of 21st century American culture. As I said before, we are relational beings and we cannot escape from that fact. In Christ, we are no longer of the world, but we are still in the world. And the four spheres of relationships, God, the family of God, human authority, and the rest of humanity are still inescapable. So what are some rules for right relationships in our roaring 20s, where we find ourselves 4 years into them as of tonight? What are some rules for right relationships in our roaring 20s? 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17 is our passage tonight. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. The first word we come across here of interest is this word submit. It's a word that goes against the grain of human nature. By nature, human beings say, I want to do my own thing. I want to say what I want to say. I want to do what I want to do. I want to think what I want to think. I want to feel what I want to feel. I want to be what I want to be. The world today has little concept of submission, in case we haven't noticed. But submit has the idea of to be subordinate, to obey, to place yourself willfully and voluntarily under these things called ordinances. Now, what is an ordinance? The word ordinance has the idea of a formation, a fabrication, a manufactured thing. We are to submit ourselves to every formation, fabrication, manufactured thing of man. We have seen a lot of these formations, these fabrications, these manufactured things over the past 4 years, if I dare say so. He goes on to say, whether it be to the king as supreme, the king is the supreme superiority in Paul's day. He is speaking here of Nero, this man that I just described for you in some graphic terms a few minutes ago. Peter, writing to the believer, says, submit to him as well. He goes on to describe governors, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, the king, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Peter says, submit to, whether it's the highest one, or the ones below him who are delegated under his authority, submit to them. And he gives a reason for it, for the Lord's sake. This is not because they have merited it, but it is for the Lord's sake. Folks, I believe we are living in days, and it may come even more so in the future, when we will have to submit for the Lord's sake. Not because the people in office are worthy, not because the leadership is worthy or is meritorious, but for the Lord's sake. Well, do it for the Lord's sake. What all is submission going to do? What all is submission to these authorities, even like Nero in Peter's day? What all is this going to accomplish for us? Are we just laid back and, oh, well, we can't do anything, we might as well submit? No, there is a purpose for it. For the Lord's sake. Verse 15 tells us, for so is the will of God. This is one of those places in Scripture that very clearly states, this is God's will for you. For so is the will of God that with well-doing, with submission, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Folks, in the past 4 years, there has been much ignorance of foolish men that has erupted across this nation. Are we as believers doing the will of God and by well-doing putting to silence the ignorance of these foolish people? Peter does not say, rise up and form demonstrations and do all the stuff that we see the world doing out there, but he says, so is the will of God that with well-doing, doing what is right, doing what is proper, behaving like sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. With well-doing has the idea of being a good, law-abiding citizen. Folks, I don't care how bad society gets, believers should always, always, always be good, law-abiding citizens. Putting to silence has the idea of muzzling. Ignorance in this verse has the idea of a lack of knowledge. And foolishness in this verse has the idea of mindless, ignorant, egotistic, rash, unbelieving. God says we are to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men with well-doing. And he says we are to do this, verse 16, as free. We should never view ourselves as under the bondage of the world, but we are under bondage to the Lord himself. We are his servants now. We walk in newness of life. As free, he says in verse 16, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Don't take the freedom that you have in Christ and say, I have a right to tell these people what they're doing wrong and set them straight and voice myself and make myself heard and fuss and fume and all these things. So he says, no, don't. That's not how you do it. Not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So what does this look like? He tells us in verse 17, honor all men. The word honor has the idea to prize, to fix a value upon, to revere. The word respect can easily be inserted here. Respect all men. You see, you might say, have you seen the past 4 years? I have. I've lived through it with you. I've seen it. And you're still saying honor, respect, all men? It's not what I say, folks. It's what the Word of God says. Right. Honor, respect, all men. You say, but have you seen some of the men and women in high-profile positions over the past 4 years? I have. But the Word of God, it does not change. If Peter, writing under the administration of Nero, could write this and mean it, which he does, we're in the same boat. Honor all men. Secondly, he says, love the brotherhood. This is the word agape, referring to a self-sacrificing for the needs of others. Fear God, it says. Fear means to literally be frightened, be in awe, to revere. The world does not exhibit a fear of God. Do we as believers exhibit and live a fear of God? A And he says, honor the king, the same word for honor all men, to prize, to fix a value upon, to revere, to respect. We are to submit to every earthly formation of man short of unbiblical behavior. We are to fear and stand in awe of God. We are to sacrificially love the family of God. And we are to do nothing less than demonstrate respect to everyone else in the world, period. Folks, far too often it seems like we as born-again believers, born-again, redeemed children of God, we pride ourselves on loving the brotherhood and fearing God, whether we actually do those things as we should or not. But when it comes to having a respect for all men and the king, we might squirm a bit at the thought of such a mandate. I mean, after all, we're called to be saints, children of the living God. We will judge angels. We are the bride of Christ. We will rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. We are faithful in church, hopefully, in prayer, hopefully, in pursuit of holiness, hopefully, in our reading of God's word each day, hopefully. Those wicked pagan perverts, those God-haters, those money-loving, power-seeking, blasphemous rebels, they're just, as it is written, the chaff which the wind driveth away. Fear God? Oh yes, amen. Love the brotherhood? Oh yes, amen. But demonstrate honor and respect for everyone else? Everyone? Even on those people on the other side of the political aisle? Yes. Even individuals who rebel against God's divine definition of marriage, family, and human sexuality? Yes. Even individuals who militantly defy the divine sanctity of human life from conception and onward? Yes. Even individuals who suppress the truth and unrighteousness and embrace and preach evolution, humanism, materialism, and hedonism? Yes. You say, how can you say that? Don't you know what all these groups are doing to our society? Yes, I do. I do see what these movements, these worldviews, these philosophies have done and are doing. Our text does not say to demonstrate respect to all movements, philosophies, etc. That would be unbiblical. It says all men, people. Folks, remember this. Apart from Jesus Christ, all people are lost sinners. Behaving like lost sinners. They are simply living out their nature. On the other hand, we as believers have been made to be partakers in Christ of the divine nature. We are sinners saved by grace, called to be saints. Do we genuinely behave like saints? Are we genuinely living out our new nature? The world is living out its nature. But are we doing the same in Christ? But let's get back to this idea of honoring and respecting all men, including the king. Respect, according to the American Heritage College Dictionary, means to feel or show deferential regard for, esteem, to avoid violation of, willingness to show consideration. In our zeal for the love of the brotherhood and fear of God, too often we may look at the outside world and see all the sin and overlook the sinners. Sometimes the words we say reveal what is truly in our hearts. You'd think we hated sinners because of their sin. Well, guess what? We're sinners too. We hold them in contempt. By our attitude, sometimes the sentiment is expressed, just let them go to hell. Folks, that is not becoming of a child of God. Luke 18:9-14. Let's turn there real quick. Luke 18. Hold your place in 1 Peter. Luke 18:9-14. And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord says in verse 14, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself, God, thank you that I'm not like those people. I do this, I do this, I do this. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. God's going to be the one to do the abasing. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And God's going to be the one to do the exalting. Back to 1 Peter. Folks, tonight, in no way am I insinuating tolerance of sin or embracing the way of the world, either in the church or in our family or our personal lives. That would be contradictory to Scripture. And Scripture does not contradict itself, because God does not contradict himself. What I am proposing to us tonight, I have attempted to compile practical biblical things that we can do to live out all four of these principles. Pardon the wordiness, but it's necessary to capture as much as possible the strength of these four things. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, as I go through some things, you may think of something I left out. That's fine. Add them to the list. But honor all men. What all is encapsulated in this? Number one, well, actually, it's a paragraph, so don't even number this. What all falls under the umbrella of honoring all men? We as believers, we have a mandate from Scripture to do this. Treat everyone as you yourself would want to be treated by others. Ascribe and demonstrate to everyone the human value and dignity that you yourself would want from others. Show courtesy to everyone. Be polite to everyone. Offer prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men. Everyone is a part of your family, the human family, going all the way back to Adam. As a child of Adam, everyone is also the object of God's love demonstrated in the cross of Jesus Christ. And whosoever will, that's everyone, may come to the cross and be saved. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. What all does that include? Well, give sacrificially to meet the needs of those within the family of God. Admonish one another in love. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Pray for one another. Forgive one another. Have patience with one another. In humility, prefer one another. Do good to one another. If necessary, lay down our very lives for one another. By these things, the Lord said, shall all men know that we are his disciples. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Now, how about fear God? What all does that encapsulate? Stand in awe of him every day for everything, from his marvelous creation to his goodness, love, mercy, and grace. Mentally, emotionally, and verbally give him the glory for all things. Be genuinely afraid of his hand of chastening in our lives, and let it motivate us to keep short accounts of sin and pursue holiness in our walk with him. Be genuinely terrified of his ultimate eternal wrath against all sin, and persuade men to repent and come to him for the salvation of their souls through Jesus Christ. If forced to decide whether to obey men or to obey God, we obey him and commit ourselves into his hands. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and now honor the king. Honor the king would include everything I stated under honor all men. Additionally, ascribe to them the value of being the ministers of God to thee for good. Realize that there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Submit to them in light of the fact that they are what they are, where they are, for as long as they are, by God's appointment. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Be afraid to slander and ridicule those whom God has appointed to positions of leadership. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Folks, we can do all of these things without compromising biblical convictions, without watering down the gospel of Jesus Christ, without violating our conscience toward God and man. In doing these things, we will be salt and light. In doing these things, we will be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We will be a city that is set on a hill, and lights shining in a crooked and perverse generation. We will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We will be good stewards of our dual citizenship of earth and heaven. And the Bible tells us, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And if we do suffer for Christ in the process, the Bible says, happy are we. Folks, we are 4 years now into our roaring 20s. I have seen everything that you have seen over the past 4 years. I read the news. I have seen. Every one of us has had different perspectives. Your workplace and so forth. You have seen everything come to pass. And folks, I do not pretend to stand up here tonight and say what's going to happen in the next 4 years. What will be the case in 2028? I don't know. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I'd rejoice if the trumpet sounded. Amen. But if the trumpet doesn't sound, and we are still here, are we still going to be submitting? Are we still going to be not using our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness? Are we still going to be honoring all men, loving the brotherhood, fearing God, and honoring the king? That is something we must do until this life is over, folks. It's not a case of where we can say, oh, I've done this for enough years, I can quit doing this now. No, folks, it doesn't give a timeline. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, regardless of what is happening in the world. Do that till you draw your last breath, and you will be able to stand before God, I believe, unashamed, because you have done things His way in the world in which we live. And that, I submit to you, is Christ-likeness. Because Christ did the will of God in the midst of the world in which He came, and He was well pleasing unto His Father. And we want to be that same way. Let us walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. On this first Wednesday night of 2024, looking ahead to this year, are you going to walk worthy of the Lord? Folks, I tell you, it's not going to be possible in your own strength. Every day, you're going to have to get up and say, Lord, it's me again. I need you. Lord, I got to go to work today. I'm in the middle of this world here. Lord, I need you. Lord, I this. Lord, this. This. Lord, I need you. Walk worthy of the Lord. Is that our goal for this year? Encompassing everything we've talked about tonight. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I didn't make any resolutions this year. I don't need resolutions. I have enough mandates from the Word of God that does not change. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how grateful and how comforted we are that, as the hymn writer said, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. We thank you for the unchanging nature of your word, which reflects your unchanging nature as God. The world around us is changing more rapidly than we've ever seen. We have seen the past 4 years. We don't know what the next 4 years are going to hold. All may change, but you never change. May we walk worthy of you, doing what your word has told us, to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. For your sake, putting to silence the ignorance of foolish people, and doing that which is pleasing in your sight. Gird us with strength in 2024, Father. Make our ways perfect. Create within us a clean heart. If necessary, renew a right spirit within us. And may we walk worthy of you in 2024. We pray this according to your will and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.